Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 392.
Jesus on high, there we never shall die. church that I grew up in, AO1.
How great thou art.
Oh, yeah, that is something that's
important. Sounds good to me. 801.
Thank you.
18 is the other one? All right.
Well, 796.
Maybe someone else will hit that one.
What are we talking?
18.
1-8.
1-8, yes. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Okay.
Come to the light and shining for me.
I will now take more song requests. Oh, before I take the request, if anyone would like to give a short testimony along with their song, please do so, okay? Go ahead, March.
1:22 in the chorus.
All right. 1:22 in the chorus.
Oh,
take two or three more here if anyone is interested. Okay, Francis, I saw you.
51 in the hymn book.
In the hymn book, okay. 51 in the hymn book.
Take it to rise.
911 before Brother Renzi comes and speaks, so hope it's a good one. Yes?
There, I don't think it's in the hymnal, but how about if we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
That is in our hymnal.
Is it? I couldn't find it. But I'll tell you, there's been so many times in life that, you know, when you are going through such a struggle and you have nowhere else to turn, and you just know that God is just waiting for you to call on Him. And when you look toward Jesus and ask Him to lift me up, He's always there. So that song means a lot to me.
546, okay.
546, thank you.
Yeah,
amen. All right. Let's stand if you're able to. 546.
I'm not going to preach real long this morning. We had a great time singing and some Thanksgiving, and that smell just keeps on making its way up from the basement, so it's hard to sit up front here and pay attention, amen? But if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1? I just want to say a few things to encourage our hearts. We're ending the year, and we're getting ready to start a new year. And I will quote Psalm 65:11. It says, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness." And the children of Israel recognized that all that they had came from the goodness of the Lord each year. And looking back, you and I can be very thankful for the goodness of God in our life. Amen. We may not have been as good as we should have been, but God has always been good. Amen. And we may not have been as faithful as we should have been, but God is always faithful. So we have a lot to look back and thank the Lord for. Amen. But as we think about looking forward, you know, the ending of one year, we look back with gratitude, but we also look ahead to the new year. And I think looking back, we can focus on thankfulness. But looking ahead, we can probably focus on prayerfulness. Amen. And that was a great hymn to end off the time with. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. And to look to him through the new year. Amen. Day by day. But I want to talk about a word in the Bible that in three different passages just kind of gives us a challenge for the new year, if you will. The word is diligent. Diligent. When you think about being diligent, you think about working hard at something, being dedicated to something. And so from a Bible challenge for our hearts for the new year, I would like to talk about being diligent this year coming in three different areas, especially as the Bible itself, the word lends itself in different contexts for different things. And so I want to talk to you about that just for a few moments. One of the things that you and I as believers need to be diligent about as we focus on the new year, if you will. By the way, let me just say this, that I think before diligence comes two other words. And that one is desire. And by the way, you're not going to do something that you don't have a desire to do. Amen. One of the first things we have to do is have desire. And that desire needs to turn into, I think, another word, and that word is determination. In fact, you're going to hear about and you're going to make, you know, New Year's. I know, you know, if you don't care about resolutions, that's fine. You know, other people make determinations to say, hey, this year I want to focus on something, you know, and desire is the beginning of it. We desire something, and by the way, it doesn't always have to be only spiritual. In fact, I think it's good. I think spiritual is always first and foremost, in my opinion. One of the first and foremost things is I should desire to be spiritually healthy in the new year. Amen. I think also it's a good thing to be physically healthy. And I think it's also a good thing to be financially healthy. By the way, as much as you possibly can, you ought to do the things that you ought to do to be healthy in every area of life, in those three areas in particular. Life has a way of going in certain directions that you can do the best you can and still be unhealthy. You can do the best you can and still be struggling financially. You know, I'm just saying you and I at least ought to do our best to try to be healthy in the areas of life, at least these basic areas of life. But they all begin with desire. Amen. And so that desire needs to turn into determination. Desire is, this is what I want. I want to be a better Christian in the new year. And by the way, I think if you're like me, you have room for improvement, right? If you think you're already there, you are dismissed from this message. Amen. But if you and like me and like Paul the Apostle, if you realize, hey, there's room for growth. Amen. Well, the new year is, hey, I want to grow. You may look back on 2018 and say, hey, I thank God I have grown some. Amen. But we need to look ahead and say, I want to grow some more. And so desire is, this is what I want. Determination is, this is what I'm going to do. But by the way, you can desire and you can determine while you're sitting down. But when it comes to diligence, that's a little different than desire and determination. To me, desire and determination is what is on the inside of you. But I think diligence is what comes out in your actions. It's one thing to desire something. It's one thing to be determined about something. But it's a whole nother thing to get up and to do something about what you desire and determine to do. Do we understand that? Amen. I mean, hey, I had a long, you know, as you well know, my past, 300 and some odd pounds. And forever, year after year, I had a desire to lose weight. In fact, year after year, I would resolve in the beginning of the year that this is the year. And for the first week, I did something good, you know what I mean? And then for maybe 2 weeks, and you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I have a desire, it's a good desire. In fact, I'm so fed up, I'm determined that this is it. And then all of a sudden, I start to get diligent, and what happens? Whatever happens gets in the way, and all of a sudden, the diligence goes out. I still have desire and determination. I just ain't going nowhere with them. Amen. Desire and determination are there. I have a desire, I have a determination to grow in the Lord, to read my Bible, to pray, to be faithful to the Lord. All these wonderful things. But listen, diligence is the key. What you and I do. In fact, diligence is not just what we get started to do. I think the greatest part of diligence is to keep on doing. Amen? To keep on doing. What do we say? What do I say? I've seen people lose a lot of weight. A lot of weight. But then sometimes after a few months or after a few years, what happens? It starts to come back. What is the term we used for people or for even for ourselves when we allow this to happen? We let ourselves what? We let ourselves go. That's the word. Man, they let themselves go. Well, let themselves go what? They at one time had their desire and their determination and they were doing something about it day by day. They were saying no to this. They were saying yes to it. And as they were being diligent, the pounds were going. As they were being diligent, they maintained a healthy lifestyle. But I'll tell you what, it's not easy to keep on being diligent. Now, listen, some people naturally, I'll be honest with you, I have a problem with these people. They eat and eat and eat and eat and never gain. Anybody else mad at those type of people? Yeah, me too. I'm like, how can you do that? Me, I eat one thing and it's like, oh my, amen? But some people, their metabolism is just so different, amen? But me, for some reason, it's something you have to maintain. You have to maintain. And it's not always easy to keep on maintaining. By the way, I find the hardest time for me is between, I hate to use the word, but Christmas. Or December 25th. Between December 25th and January the 1st. Some of the worst time for me. All the cookies. By the way, neighbors give us gifts. And here's the thing of cookies. Like my wife didn't make enough of them. Yeah, I'll have them too. And in my house, it's left out on the table. The table was prepared for me by my enemy. And I have a heart. I love chocolate covered pretzels. Can I get a witness on that one? It's just something about the chocolate and the salt together. And I'm saying to you, that's the hardest time for me not to let go. I try to. I'll be honest. My testimony for these few days have been, nah, that's it. I ruined it on whatever one day. And you know, oh, I feel the difference. By the way, you feel the difference. And I say, that's it. And I start out good. I have a good breakfast. I have this, I have that. And about midday, the table's right there. And my wife can make a great pound cake. And what happens is I say, I'm just going to have a little bit. And once I get a little bit, that's it. Amen. I have desire. I have even determination. And I start out diligent. But it's that maintaining the diligence. Maintaining the diligence. That's the hardest thing. But my prayer is for you and I to get diligent and stay diligent. Amen. About some things. What are the things in the Bible that we should be diligent about? Let me give you the first thing, if I can give you this encouragement for the new year. First or 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read a few verses and I want to just give you a thought. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of our Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And by the way, if you're saved, you have everything you need to live the life God wants you to live. A godly life. He goes on to say, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And by the way, when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit, who is the divine nature. Amen. And we become partakers of the divine nature through the Spirit of God, through the divine nature. Only through the Lord can I do the things I ought to do, right? And so he says that you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We can only escape the lustful sinful corruptions of this world through the Spirit of God that we have, as He is our power, if you will. Now, verses 1 to 4 emphasize salvation. That's what it emphasizes. Salvation, the fact that we have like precious faith, and so on. But look at verse number 5. He says this, and beside this, beside verses 1 to 4, beside your salvation, beside the fact that you're saved, here's what he says, giving all, and here's the big word, diligence. Giving all diligence, what's the next statements? Add to your faith. The very context here is this. He says add virtue, and to virtue add knowledge, to knowledge add temperance, to temperance add patience, to patience add godliness, to godliness add brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness add charity. Can I say this, what he's saying? Give all diligence, add to your faith. When you add something to something, it's called progress. Growth. You and I are believers if we're saved. But according to this scripture, we need to add to our faith. We need to be more than just saved. We need to grow in our salvation. Amen? By the way, your growth depends on you. My growth depends on me. Progress. You and I need to be diligent about progress. We need to work hard at growing in our Christian faith. Amen. And by the way, some of the basic ways of growing in our Christian faith is we need to be diligent about reading the scriptures on a daily basis. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people that start out the new year and they're determined, hey, this year I'm going to read through my Bible. And they start that program and I think they get midway through January and that's about the end of it. Can I get a witness on that one? You and I need to be determined, and we need to desire, we need to be determined, but we need to be diligent, and we need to be diligent about growth, about progress in our own life. Our growth is up to us. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, it says this, Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your own salvation. He said, work out your own salvation. Amen. We get saved for free. We get the Holy Spirit of God in us for free, but we need to take what we have and we need to read the Word of God. We need to spend time in prayer with the Lord. Amen. These are the things that help us to grow, attending church and so on. You and I, this year, may we be diligent. We may have already been this last year, and that's fine. Let's keep it up, amen? Let's be diligent about progress or about growth, if you will. Exercise. Oh, boy, that's, and by the way, that's the operative word for this time of the year, isn't it? Every commercial, everything is, hey, now that, you know, the so-called holiday is over, now it's time to get in shape. Now you can join the gym for one penny down. Now you can get that treadmill, and now you can get that, you know, that bike you owe it. Now you can have that body you always wanted. You notice they never put heavy people on there neither? Can I get a witness on that one? You never see a 300-pounder riding a bike saying, hey, you can be like them and start anew. They're like, hey, you can look like him. You can have those muscles. You can. That guy doesn't work out. He's probably naturally like that. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness on that one? What I'm saying to you is, hey, if you want to be spiritually fit, you need to exercise spiritually, right? You need to work out spiritually. In fact, the Bible says in, I think it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I got it written down here somewhere. Oh, 2 Timothy chapter number, no, 1 Timothy 4, 7. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Amen? We got to exercise, but we got to exercise ourselves, spiritually speaking, to have progress. Now, let me give you a second thought. And I'm moving right along there. Number two, I want you to look at 2 Peter. We're in the same book, but look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. One of the things the Bible speaks about being diligent about is diligent about growth. You and I, we're not going to grow on our own. We need to do something, amen? We need to exercise, if you will, spiritually speaking. But not only do we need to be diligent about progress or growth, but we also need to be, as believers in this new year, determined to be diligent about another thing. And that is this, purity. Be diligent about purity. You and I need to be diligent about being pure in our Christian life. Amen. Listen, we live in a very dirty world. Amen. We live in a world that is filled with dirt all over, spiritually speaking. You understand what I'm saying to you, right? I mean, every which way we're being inundated with all kinds of sinfulness. Amen. No doubt about it. And by the way, it's getting worse and it will get worse. Amen. No doubt about that. But you and I are trying to, as believers, go through this world and try to stay as clean as we possibly can for the Lord. Amen. And I want you to note what this scripture says. 2 Peter chapter number 2, chapter number 3. Look at beginning in verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. By the way, the context is the promise of his coming. The Lord is coming again. Amen. And by the way, I believe this text is talking about his second coming. But thank God you and I that are saved, we're not going to be here for the second coming. Amen. We're going to be gone before that because we're waiting for the rapture of the church. Amen. Where the Lord comes back, stops in the air, picks us up, amen, and then he'll come back to this earth to establish his kingdom and so on. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, verse number 9, but he's long suffering to usward. And by the way, why hasn't the Lord raptured the church yet, and why hasn't he come back? Because he's long suffering to humanity. He wants people to get saved, amen. But his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The whole reason the Lord is delaying is because people need to be saved. And you and I can thank God he delayed for us to get saved. Amen? And now we have loved ones that we want to be saved as well. But look at verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We know he's talking about the Lord's second coming here. But notice this, verse number 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, because we know what the future holds when the Lord comes back the second time, it says, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That word conversation means lifestyle. Because you and I know the future, we know that the Lord is going to come back and establish his kingdom. We know he's going to judge the earth and everything. We know before that he's going to rapture us. But knowing what the future holds, you and I ought to live godly lives in light of that. Look at verse 12. Looking for, that's what we should be doing, looking for the Lord's coming, amen. Looking for the Lord, if you will. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, by the way, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. By the way, we got something to look forward to, don't we? Many songs were about heaven. We have something to look forward to. Amen. Listen, we know that judgment's coming to this earth, but we know, thank God, we're not going to be here and judged by the Lord because he already took our judgment. Amen. But we are looking for him to come and establish a new heavens and a new earth. Look at verse 14, which is the key to verse that I want you to see. Wherefore, in other words, in light of all of this, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. There's that word diligent. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The encouragement is this. Knowing what the future holds, you and I ought to be diligent. We ought to work hard at staying clean and staying right, being without spot. By the way, it's this world that spots us. It's this world that tars us with its brush, if you will. Amen? In fact, that's why we're encouraged, even in the book of James, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Amen? You and I just simply going through this world are picking up things. Amen? Sad to say, but it's true, is it not? You and I need to be diligent. We need to work hard at trying to stay clean and stay right with the Lord. Amen? The two things so far, we need to be diligent about progress, about growth in our own spiritual lives. We need to be diligent about purity, about trying to stay clean and stay right with the Lord. Amen. Being diligent, doing whatever we have to do to make sure we're trying to close every door that the devil's trying to use to maybe get to us. Amen. That's what we have to do. And may God help us to be diligent about that in this upcoming year. And then let me give you the final thing. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, please. Hebrews, chapter number 11. As believers in this upcoming year, may we be diligent. Now, we may have been diligent this past year. Praise God. Let's keep on being diligent. Amen. Be diligent about growth, about progress in your life. Be diligent about purity in your life. when we do fail, I didn't say if we do fail, when we do fail, I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? And the fact that we can confess our sin and be washed and cleansed and forgiven all our sin, all our unrighteousness, amen? There's not one of us perfect. Hey, we can desire and determine to live perfect. It's never going to happen. But we can do the best we can to stay clean. And when we fail and fall, let's get back up and get cleaned and keep on going on. Amen? Amen, Brother Renzi. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want you to look with me. One more thing we need to be diligent about. We need to be diligent about progress. We need to be diligent about purity. And then finally, I close with this. And I'm so thankful for that last hymn that because it really encouraged me. In reference to this point, we need to be diligent about prayer. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You and I need to be diligent about prayer. Or might I say, diligent about looking to the Lord. Amen? That's the essence of what that song was. Turn your eyes upon the Lord. Look to the Lord. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen? He will not sleep. He will not slumber. Amen? And that's the essence of that. We need to diligently seek the Lord. And by the way, diligently seek the Lord means to keep on seeking him. Don't quit. Jesus himself in the book of Mark, actually in the book of Luke, he in chapter number 11, Jesus himself gave a story, if you will, about a man who had a man come, who had somebody come to him at midnight and he didn't have any food to put before him. And he went to his friend, the baker, and he knocked on that door and said, hey, somebody came to visit me and I have no bread. I need some bread. He said, leave me alone. I'm in bed and I can't get up to help you. And Jesus said, look, he's not going to get up and help him because he's his friend. But I'll tell you what, if he keeps on knocking and keeps on knocking and keeps on knocking, he'll finally get up to help him. And the whole point was Jesus said, listen, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. Amen. You and I need to learn to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Amen. And Jesus gave so many other illustrations about that. I close with this verse. Galatians 6:9. When it comes to being diligent about progress, when it comes to being diligent about purity, when it comes to being diligent about prayer, might I say this? That's good things. Is that right? Isn't it good to have progress? Isn't it good to have purity? Isn't it good to have a prayer life? And when you're diligent about these good things, something can happen. You start getting tired. Galatians 6:9 says this, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Amen. I remember hearing an illustration from a preacher who talked about the plates on the sticks. You ever see them in circuses or whatever it is, the plates on the sticks, they start to spin them and then they get to the next one and spin that. And then they spin the next one. And before you know it, this one's starting to slow down. So they got to go back and spin that one. That's how the Christian life to me is all about. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to keep that going. Then I'm trying to stay pure and keep that going. Then I'm trying to have that good prayer. And this is how it is. That's how our life is. Amen. Keep the plates spinning. Be diligent about that. Amen. May God help us. At least until he comes back again. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to gather on this Lord's Day. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful hymns that we were able to sing today and the testimonies of your goodness, Lord. As we end this year, we look back, Lord, and we say thank you. Thank you for your mercy toward us. Thank you for never giving us what we rightfully deserve, even by way of judgment. But on top of your mercy, we're so thankful for your grace. Thank you for giving us and blessing us, even though we don't deserve it, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness. We thank you for all your protections and provisions that you've given to us and our families. And Lord, as we look ahead to the new year, we pray for your continued mercy and grace. We pray for your continued help. And may we do that last song we sung earlier, Lord, throughout this new year. May we ever lift our eyes to you and look to you for every area of life, for every situation in life. Lord, we can't get through the day without looking to you, let alone the year. Please hedge us and help us. I pray for this church, Lord. I pray for your watch care over it. I pray for you to provide for them, Lord, a pastor, Lord, that would help them. I pray for the man that's coming maybe in 2 weeks who just looking at, Lord. I pray that you'll work a work in whoever's heart, Lord, and bring together them with that preacher, Lord. We pray for you to protect this flock. Be with those men, the pulpit committee. Please help them, Lord, to look to you and to unite with each other, Lord, and to be a help to this church. We pray, please, for your blessing this year coming, your watch care in every way. Now, Lord, we pray, I haven't been asked to, but I will pray for the food and the fellowship, that you'll bless it all, Lord, and that you'll just help everyone that at dismissal time when they go home, that you'll help everybody get home safely. And Lord, help us again to exit and enter the year, Lord, on the right foot, on a good note. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Somebody always asks him to sing, and this is one that was always asked. And I'm not going to try to sing it like he did, so I hope it's a blessing too.
It goes right along with the service, with the sermon as well.
Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear, we're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair, but Christ will soon appear to catch his bride. Tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race when we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light, we're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight, but there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past will cross the great divide to glory, safe at last, and we'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter
till we see Christ.